The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour. It's Chuck and Chernoff, and we are live at Fairway Social in Alpharetta. 13,000 square feet of just golf and food and fun and drinks and TVs and sports. You're going to want to make this a destination. Date night, boys night, party night, you name it, they can do it all here at Fairway Social. Our 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website, under the podcast header, or at thisstuffmatters.net. Chuck is under the weather. Carlos Medina is in for the King, so we all say hello to Mr. Medina.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Carlos.
Guess what?
What?
I'm a terrible parent.
I don't want to judge you in that way. Why do you think?
We kept feeding my daughter crab, and she kept pooping orange.
Say that one more time. You broke up.
We kept feeding my daughter crab, and she kept pooping orange.
Okay. Now it makes perfect
sense.
She's
had diarrhea all weekend. I'm sorry.
All right, you're a bad parent then, I agree.
I think I said that last one about you, oh, when you had to take a day off last week.
Yeah. I had the FP.
I'm not even going to venture into...
It was a food poison.
Okay.
It was a diet, in retrospect, that I probably needed, but it's not fun going through it.
You know, by the way, my wife had her going away party for her previous company here, 25 people in the bar.
It's a cool spot.
It's perfect.
You got to come on out. It's really awesome out here.
They've got like a back nine. You can play a putting green, a rooftop terrace and bar.
And the rooftop bar, now that the weather's nice, you can come out here and watch the Braves game. They've got a huge screen out there.
Speaking of the Braves, they lost last night 1-0 to the Brewers. They fall to 16-20 on the season. And yes, for a second straight game, the Braves struck out 16 times and 8 of the final 9 hitters struck out.
I cannot hit curveball.
Let's give the Brewers credit. Let's give the Brewers credit first. Peralta was dealing. Williams is one of the better setup guys. You know, Hader right now is literally perfect. At the same time, up and down this Braves lineup, everybody's lost. Adam Duvall, maybe the biggest culprit. He was 0-for-3 again with 3 Ks. Orlando Arcia last night, 0-for-3 with 3 Ks. Everybody in the lineup struck out at least once. Los, to give you some context of what last night was, the Braves only put the ball in play 13 times the whole night. Only 2 Atlanta Braves reached base, which is just pitiful.
It felt soul-crushing to watch that game. Because, again, you also had Ian Anderson who was out there and just grinding, dealing, doing what he was doing. And you knew there's not going to be a 3 or 4-run inning in this game.
1 run wins.
Yeah, it felt that way. And to have them continue to have non-competitive at-bats, just where you go up there, it's 0-2, and you realize if you can put the ball in play, fine, because it almost feels like you're moving the line from, all right, you're 0-2, strikeout, let's see if the next guy can do something.
Los, they're so twisted up, though, they're staring at 0-2 stuff right down the middle. Like, that's how twisted up they are in their mind of, like, I'm not going to chase. Dansby looked at a pitch right down the middle. Matt Olson did the same thing.
They all did the same.
It's like...
I bring this up this way, just from somebody who got a chance to know exactly what that's like from playing ball. When that starts to happen, especially with these guys, the quality of pitching they're facing, you're looking for typically 2 dominant pitches and often a third. And when they just throw something that you don't expect, there's nothing you can do. You just stand there.
The Braves go through one of these typically about twice a year. And this is now like the version on steroids of how tough it is for them to put innings together. that you knew the way this thing was going, Ian had to be damn near perfect, and he was close. The only run he allows is on a two-out wild pitch that really wasn't that bad of a pitch. It went right under Darno's arm, and that was enough to give the Brewers the 1-0 lead, and that's all they would need. Back to the offense. Then Dave O'Brien had this number. Braves hitters have now struck out 32 times, walked just 5 times, and scored 3 runs in 20 innings over their last 2 games. They've struck out 45 times and only walked 7 times in the last 3 games. The shame of it is Kyle Wright pitched outstanding on Sunday. He didn't have anything to show for it. Ian pitched really well yesterday. Nothing to show for it other than a good line of 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 Ks, and the loss.
So we got the lineup sent to us from our friend Dan Matthews, and we can confirm Ronald Acuna will be leading off and playing DH. But, Matt, look how much that they're moving stuff around, just trying to find anything that works. Adam Duvall is going to bat 8 tonight.
All right.
And
all right.
William Contreras is in the lineup as the catcher. Demerit is going to be in right field. And, again, Demerit's been moved all over this lineup because at least every now and then he gives you a little bit of juice in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know what you do because there's 6 or 7 guys that are all fighting it. So moving guys around might help, but it also might not do anything the way guys are swinging and missing at such a ridiculous rate. The other story from last night was going to be the bullpen without Kenley available, without Minter available, and as we found out after the game, without Tyler Matzek, who went on the IL. So Spencer Strider, there was some thought he might start today. Instead, they used him last night, and he was really good in what was a high-leverage 1-0 game for 2 innings. Then Snit says after the game the plan changed once we realized Tyler wasn't going to be available. So Spencer will move into a higher leverage role in the pen, which is fine. I'd rather use him as a starter, but okay. So that means Tucker Davidson now all of a sudden is on the spot for a team that is having trouble scoring. And a young pitcher sometimes thinks, I got to be perfect, which you can't be, which could make, boy, it could make you grip it a little tighter, realizing I can't give up a 1 or 2 spot in the first inning because we're not going to have to try to play from behind. I mean, it's a lot to put on Tucker in a spot where you'd like to try to get a dub to give yourself a chance to win this series tomorrow.
I do feel better about playing against this lineup just because the Brewers have shown you and you've shown that you've been able to pitch to this lineup and you've been able to keep them, you know, right in front of you and you play tight baseball games with them. It's just this is a recipe for a lot of just bad stuff. Just a bad stretch of baseball, right?
It is. And you're facing a good pitching team. You get Corbin Burns tomorrow. Then you face the Marlins, who are no walk. I mean, they're no day at the beach.
They're playing well, yeah.
But that's a good pitching staff over there, so it's not going to get easier.
I think it was Alcantara went like 7 shutout last night after giving up 1.
Between him and Trevor Rogers, and they have arms over there.
Yeah.
Again, the Braves go through 1 or 2 of these a year. There's just maybe not this extended. All of a sudden, the floodgates open. Maybe it's tonight or tomorrow or somewhere where you're like, oh, I didn't see the 5-run inning coming, and everybody calms down or relaxes and tries to turn it around. There will be a drop-dead date on some of this stuff when it comes to, like, Adam Duvall's struggles or, you know, a few other guys in the lineup where you're like, it's not sustainable playing you. And Adam's defense has been really good, but Adam's not here for his defense. It's a nice addition that he's a gold glove outfielder. Adam's here to hit 35 bombs. I think he has 2 home runs.
Yeah, 2 home runs, and I believe batting, I think, 194. It's just, there's a part where you just have to tell one of these guys, you got to go elsewhere to figure it out. And we'd like to have you here, but this is not, we talked about this last July. It was not major league quality in the outfield.
No.
And largely, you're not getting that in center field right now.
No question. And you weren't getting it left with Rosario.
Nope.
There's been a lot of this year you haven't gotten it with Ozuna. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. 7:40 first pitch, our pregame coverage with 680 Game Day. We'll lead up to that in the Ford leadoff show on the Fan and the Fan mobile app. It is NBA draft lottery night, which in other words is one of the most important nights of the year for the New York Knicks.
Knicks are trash!
They look forward to this night every year.
Horrible!
This is the Knicks' hope. That, oh, maybe this will be the year that we land the ping pong ball. And, you know, they froze the envelope, and it hasn't been the same since, you know, we got lucky with Patrick. The New York Knicks are living that life that the Hawk fan wanted nothing to do. This was a very disappointing Hawk season, but I want you to put that in context. The Hawks went to the Eastern Finals a year ago. They were 2 games from the NBA Finals, and if Trey doesn't turn an ankle, who knows? This year was you finished 4 games over 500. You lost to the number 1 seed. That's a bummer. The Knicks loss are in the NBA draft lottery for the 7th time in the last 8 years and the 15th time in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter, I thought, had a pretty entertaining note at ESPN. Since landing Ewing, The Knicks have now gone 17 straight lotteries without improving their draft position. 7 different times they fell back. 10 times they stayed exactly where they were projected. Tonight, unless something wacky happens, it'll be 18 straight years where they have not moved up, which tells you there's no fix in the league. Because if the league wanted to, they could have had Zion Williamson in New York City in the lottery, or they could have had plenty of these stars through the years, be it LeBron James or anybody else, and it's never happened that way. Incidentally, the Hawks will pick 16th in the draft. I actually clicked on an NBA draft lottery or a mock draft the other day.
There you go.
I recognized 3 names.
It's pretty typical these days.
That's where we are.
Unless they played in the Final Four or had some big tournament game, a lot of times you're going, oh, wait, who's that guy from playing at Oregon who's some project who only played 1 year of college basketball? That's what the league is now.
I recognize the big dude from, what, Gonzaga? Is that Chet Holmgren? Is that who I'm thinking of?
No, they're thinking of the other one.
I thought there's a Chet Holmgren.
Well, there's that him, but
Chet Holmgren is the big from Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, yeah.
Yeah, but there's also a long guy, too, that has
There's a long guy.
I'm just saying, they got a long guy, and then they got a center who wears a headband.
All right, so I recognized him, and then Paolo Banchero, the guy from Duke, right? I recognized him, but it was few and far between. The Hawks in this mock would pick Duke center Mark Williams, who's 7 feet, 242 pounds, which doesn't sound ridiculous only because with all the moving parts that you might see from the Hawks in the offseason, they could deal Clint Capela, which would mean Okongwu is your starting center, and you draft a backup at that point. That's not completely out of the picture.
Okekwu.
Okekwu would move into the starting lineup. I like to call him Onyeka Okongwu.
Okongwu sounds good.
Close. We're getting there. So that could be true, but I don't know why I was like, you know what, let me click on this mock and see what's... As if I was going to recognize at 16, oh, that's a good pick. That makes sense, that pick.
This is all it comes down to.
So sad.
What does Travis Schlenk end up being able to find that he can move assets for, and then you're using your draft basically to backfill? That's more than likely, because remember, if you go get a guy, typically that guy's making money, so you got to move stuff off your roster that's making money, too.
And competitive teams don't play rookies very often.
No, not normally.
But there's a time in my life that in the 1991 NBA draft when the Hawks would pick Adam Keefe.
I know all of them.
Right. Adam Keefe out of Stanford, I was like, oh, they got the big freckly redhead guy from Stanford. Or the year they took Stacey Augmon from UNLV. Or the year they took Sheldon Williams. Or the year they took DeMar Johnson. You knew it all. Now I can't give you anything outside of about 4 names in college basketball, which maybe is my fault, but also the sports.
It's part your fault. It's part the sport, only because most of these guys, they were always 3 or 4 year players.
Yeah.
So we would watch them for years. We knew what their game was. That's why they were more NBA ready.
You're not wrong, but I could give you the one and dones forever. Like DeMar Johnson was a one and done in Cincinnati that I watched in college.
I'm telling you, that 97 draft where I thought, because again, living in San Antonio, Boston had the 2 highest amount of ping pong balls. So I'm sitting back going, all right, I'm going to end up with Ron Mercer, Keith Van Horn. I knew all about their games.
They were supposed to get Tim Duncan.
And then it was Duncan suddenly there. And I knew all about his game because I'd watch all of his ACC games.
Hurts my heart a little bit. Let's get our Wingin' It idea.
It's time to Wing It. Brought to you by Wingin' Burger Factory. With over 50 Atlanta locations, find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All righty, then we'll take your Wingin' It idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. I wanted to find out the swan song that you saw in person, be it a band. What?
Rude Awakening.
Chuck, please. I was talking about an athlete or a band. You saw them the last time they came through town. For us, we all got lucky. The game didn't work out. We saw Chipper's last game, that wild card game against the Cardinals. That was Chipper's final. I saw Michael Jordan's last game in Atlanta as a member of the Wizards at the Georgia Dome. And I saw Kareem's last game as a kid. My dad took me to the Omni. They gave him a rocking chair because that was what you did. He gave the guy in the rocking chair tour. I got to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's last game. Those are 3 pretty good ones.
Who can make a play? I can make a play.
I saw his last home game. I was in Texas Stadium. Next week, he gets broken in Philadelphia.
I didn't know it was his last game.
At the time. And again, once the injury and all the stuff, I was like, I just saw Michael Irvin's last home game. That guy's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, wasn't expected, but yeah, that works. Hoyt.
The end of NBC Sports Radio.
He takes shots even when he's just giving info.
You were a part of the last opening drive with me.
Brian Hoyt.
Then the whole thing folded.
NBC Sports Radio.
Thank you. Brandon Joseph.
March 31st of, what was it, 2019, it was the Atlanta Legends going away.
That was like week three of the season.
We were in Birmingham at the crab hole that is Legion Field.
The swan song of the Atlanta Legends.
Do you have Kareem?
Right.
He has the Atlanta Legends.
Listen, it's all relative. Dan Matthews.
I'm going to go two. I'm going to go Craig Biggio's final game in 2007 and Tony Gonzalez.
All right. Very good ones. Brian Hoyt.
NBC Sports Radio, man.
Send your answers to the Harris Church Casino's Twitter feed. The swan song. Be an athlete or a band or somebody you saw their final time. Out and about, you'll send your swan songs to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Coming up next, Braves fans arguing over this.
Dutch ovens?
What would that argument look like?
I guess who's getting ovened?
Ah, no, no. Braves fans
are... You don't want to be on the receiving end.
No, you typically wouldn't, but it's probably happened to the best of us. Braves fans arguing over this have completely lost their minds. We'll tell you about it next. This is where Hoyt yells at you for Better Than Ezra and Papa Roach.
My weakness is that I can't do much. And the scars remind me that something's real. I tear my heart open just to feel.
It's a swing and a miss on Matt's career. God, American Idol wasn't around when I was really breaking into the industry.
That was your band. That wasn't my band. But I don't hate on them. I just, you know.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's cool. Poppy rock. It's cool.
You hear that, Hoyt, the way he describes it? Cool poppy rock.
Poppy rock.
I mean, what a jerk.
I'm just saying that it's
what
not...
What a jerk.
It's not the worst thing around.
Yeah, for douche rock, I mean, it's not bad, guys.
It's not douche rock. It's poppy little rock. Good for you.
Listen, it's got some debag rock to it, but that's fine. Everybody needs a little debag rock.
We're live at Fairway Social. Los is in for the Kings.
I got, like, every live album. Come on.
So do I. Chuck and Charlotte. The funny thing is, he makes fun of you. You and I have probably a lot of the same stuff.
Sure.
Going back 20 or 25 years. We're live at Fairway Social, the 3 o'clock hour of the show brought to you by...
I don't have any Creed, though.
This stuff matters. I don't have any Creed either.
See, there we go.
See, I always thought Creed at the time, because I was such a Pearl Jam fan.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so insulting to me that it just bothered me to no end. Anyway, where was I? Oh, in the middle of the This Stuff Matters read. Listen to the new This Stuff Matters podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. Coming up in 5 minutes, one member of this show is not in... on the most important secret of his entire life.
Becky's pregnant.
God. I'll tell you something right now.
Only.
If that, I'm going to go get in the oven. If that news came in right now.
Just
I'm
stick
gonna,
your head in.
I will walk into the kitchen here at Fairway Social, and I will just put myself in the oven, and that'll be the end of the day. So I'm watching Braves Twitter, and it's entertaining me right now. Not because what's happening on the field. What's happening on the field is beyond frustrating. The slow start for the Braves has been difficult the same way it was last year. It's got Braves fans all up in their feelings. Frustration leads to complaints. Complaints lead to arguments. And social media is where it all can manifest itself. You don't really need any good reason to argue on social media, but if I give you a little one, you'll take it, and now you'll like the match. So I've seen Braves Twitter arguing about, are you ready? The merits or the legitimacy of last year's championship. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. Seriously, this is happening right now. There are fans, and... what is it with Braves Twitter that they always have to try to point at Dave O'Brien? They love going at O'Brien, and O'Brien loves to again go right back at them. Some fans are screaming, oh, they just got hot. They weren't the best team. My response,
true.
So?
True. Yeah, it doesn't change anything.
So? My and?
Do you think this? Do you think with the Washington Nationals struggling as bad as they are, do you think they think about giving back their title from 2 years ago because, well, we couldn't sustain it? No.
So if you're screaming, oh, we just got hot, fine. Then there's the other side. It's like, no, we were the best team in baseball for 3 months, and we ran the gauntlet of the Brewers pitching, the Dodger pitching, and the Astros. We deserved it. You know what my response is?
Yeah, true.
Fine. Like, both sides of you arguing over this is the funniest, but yes, yet so Atlanta moment that you're defending a champion or trying to feel the need to defend a champion. Now, let's go through this because this will be a fun exercise, Los. If somebody says they weren't the best team, do you know best is an opinion? Now, you could say, well, somebody had a best record. That doesn't always mean the team was the best team.
Sorry, the Rangers in 2011 were the better team, and they still got beat by a Cardinals team that won like 86 games.
I watched Braves teams who had the best record
all the time.
10 or 12 years out of their 15-year run where I thought they were the best team in 93, 96, 97 and 8, 2001 and 2. In fact, they won 100-plus games probably five times for the decade from like 93 to 03. How many titles any of those 100-win teams got?
Zilch. Zero. Yeah.
Zilch. But Matt thought they were the best team. You know what? That gets you a trophy that says somebody thought you were the best team. Do you know teams you typically try to defend if you're a fan? Teams that you like that didn't get it done for whatever reason. You would say something like, well, injuries cost us, or that bad luck in that game, or that hot team that we played, they're the reason we didn't win a championship. You don't have to defend a champion. I don't care how you got there. There's no way to fake your way to winning a championship in any sport. When you add up what the Braves did, and I'm going to read you one correspondence between a Braves fan and Dave O'Brien.
An interaction.
Indeed. This is Mark, I assume a Braves fan, who wrote, they were 76 and 71, LOL. They literally got hot for two regular season weeks and then the playoffs, to which Dave O'Brien was not going to let that slip. Dave responds, Mark, the Braves beginning August 3rd went 36 and 18. With a 3-4 ERA while hitting 90 home runs and averaging more than 5 runs a game for a 2-month stretch. After the All-Star break, they led the NL in runs, home runs, and had Major League Baseball's third-best ERA. Then they beat the Brewers, the Dodgers, and the Astros in the postseason.
May I step in here?
Sure.
Because this is the part where, because it's Twitter, the person who is wildly wrong doesn't really back down.
Now, of course, they don't have to. What do they have to lose?
You were just given all the information you needed, but here's the thing. You can't fix stupid.
36 and 18 in the final 2 months, plus 11 and 5 in the postseason. The Braves went 47 and 23 over a 70-game span. So you know what they were, folks? Hot and good. Really damn hot and really damn good. And they won a championship. Don't argue over it. You don't have to defend it. Some might think they were the hot team. You're right. Some might think they were the best team. You're right. Some might think they weren't the best team. Doesn't matter.
There's a reason why in this town everybody remembers that hot team, that hot player, that hot whatever that took out the Braves.
Oh.
Because oftentimes the Braves were the best team.
To your point, the 93 Braves, who I think was maybe the best team of their run or one of them, lost to the hot, scrappy Phillies.
They were just out of gas. They had to go on such a run to go catch San Francisco.
They won 104 games.
Yeah.
I watched the 96 Braves lose to the scrappy, hot Yankees after being up 2-0 in the World Series. I saw some win totals. Let's see if I grabbed these, because I know Braves fans who are feeling the need to defend the championship, which makes me laugh, maybe would feel better about this. Okay, here you go.
You finally came out on the other side. You're having to go like, oh.
This is so funny to me. The Braves won 101 games in 1997 and lost to the hot Marlins. Do you realize the Braves won 106 games in 98? 106. Lost to the hot Padres.
Yep.
They won north of 100 games six times from 93 to 03, and again, none of those teams won a title.
And that Padres team got put together, added little pieces in trade, and then got hot.
Fine. All I'm saying to any of you, if you want to call them the hot team, go for it. You're right. If you want to call them the best team, you're right. If you want to call them not the best team, fine. You might be right. You know what I'm right about? They held up a championship. And I think that's part of the reason that, well, the weekend series with the Padres was really frustrating. And last night was like beyond frustrating. I'm not at the level I would be because that championship made me soft. What just happened 6 months ago, the way the Braves did what they did, where so much went right. If you think about from the trade deadline to the final out where Dansby throws to Freddie Freeman, those, the amount of stuff that went right on and off the field in this city is legendary. To now compare it to what's happened from the beginning of April until we sit here on May 17th and look at the stuff that hasn't gone right, it equals out in some cases, or it's just not the year we're I don't know. Whatever. I'm not as bothered as maybe I would be in other years because that championship made me soft, and I still appreciate it.
I just still remember doing a show first week in July where I flat out said, this team sucks. By a couple months later,
they were champions.
I'm drunk and wearing pearls and screaming about playing in a World Series. Okay, that's baseball. That's how it goes.
Hoyt actually did some research, and I appreciate him doing it. We looked at the last like 20 plus years of all three major sports, and less than 30% of the best team, which is the team with the best record, And that doesn't mean they're the best team. They just had the best regular season. Less than 30% each sport won their championship.
I guarantee you find it mostly just in the NBA. Because over seven games, that's where it tends to show up a little bit more.
We looked at that one. The team with the best record in the NBA only won the title five times in the last 21 years. That has a lot to do with the best teams are resting.
They settle down. Yes, right.
They don't take it as seriously. So you can even play with that one. Continue to argue over the title, but you don't have to. They won that championship, and it's awesomeness, and it's beautiful, and it's made me soft. Let's get a special report.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a Chuck and Chernoff special report. If you don't listen to this, you could get an STD. A bad one.
We shared this herpes.
All right, so Lois, we have some stuff going on in the show behind the scenes that needs to be discussed. Brandon Joseph, your successor, producer extraordinaire of this program, he is with baby.
Well, it's a boy.
His wife is with
his wife is. They're expecting, and I'm very excited to see him being a dad.
And BJ, you guys are due in September, correct?
September 25th.
Okay. Now the follow up question, typically when you hear somebody's pregnant, would be,
it's a boy.
What are you having?
Right,
Brandon.
I don't know.
Say it again.
I do not know what we're having.
Well, you're having a baby.
We're having a child, but I don't know what the gender of the child is going to be.
Well, we don't use pronouns, Matt, so that's okay.
That's right. We're in a different culture now. You have made this choice. You have made this choice that you guys are not going to find out the sex of the baby.
It's not
until...
a you.
Until little Joseph, little baby Joseph makes its debut in the world, you will not know its sex.
Not by my choice, but that is correct.
How much is this killing you?
It kills me every damn day, Matt.
All right, so here's the challenge. And it's not so much for you two. You and your lovely bride, and she sees it this way too. This is a challenge for the rest of us who want to buy y'all stuff.
Bingo.
This is where it is. But it's like your grandparents, parents, me, Matt, Hoyt. We want to buy y'all stuff. But a lot of it is very much geared to, do you have a boy or girl? Because that really does matter. They come out one way or the other.
This is the wrinkle now.
So I asked her position on this because she's like busy with a real job. So she doesn't have time for silly shenanigans and segments. So I wanted to get her actual position on this to try to, you know, just bring her point of view to the table, because I'm a loving husband before I try to murder her point of view. Number one, she says, we don't get surprises in this world, so why not wait for the ultimate surprise of the baby coming out?
Can I counter that? It's still a surprise if you found out today, tomorrow.
Exactly.
Correct.
And she didn't buy that one. She said, number two, kind of the Losa's point, if everybody knew the gender of the baby, they would buy you gender-appropriate things that the baby would get to wear a maximum of one time. By not sharing the sex of the baby before it's born, it forces, or not forces, people are going to be more inclined to get other things that we can get extended use out of off of said registry.
All right. Stop for a second, because I want to get some calls before I go back to you, because I got a million follow-ups for you. But if you are a listener who has experienced the we didn't want to find out or we didn't know, I want to hear how it worked out. Did you get to the end of the line without somebody or something ruining it, or just caving in and needing to know the sex of the baby, because we live in this world now where the gender reveal has become the biggest, like, look at me thing, where we're hitting pink baseballs and blue baseballs and we're, you know, doing these big to-dos to find out. So 404-231-1680, if you have experienced the we're not going to find out and we made it to the finish line. So, BJ, my understanding on this is, though, you and your wife will not know, but a third party, some rando third party, has now come in and will know the sex of the baby?
Yes, there will be a rando third party. Her coworker and best friend will apparently receive an envelope with the gender of the baby in it, because we had a discussion, or at least her mom brought up a beautiful point. If you don't know the gender of the baby, how are you going to know what to bring the child home in?
Of course.
Yeah, so, these are simple things like this. Like, I'm not to interrupt you, but I just want you to know this. For instance, your wife is thinking, like, long-term, like, what are we going to get, 3 months, 6 months of use for the baby? Dude, if you got pee-pee cups and it's a daughter, they're no good, okay? And if it turns out to be a boy and you don't have pee-pee cups on day one, day two, day three, you're also going to be very frustrated.
So this is where the rando third party is going to come equipped with this stuff. But, BJ, what I'm telling you is once another person is involved in the secret, it's going to be impossible to keep the secret.
That's my plan.
The best friend will slip at one point, because it's normal to say, oh, she's almost here, or oh, he's getting closer, and the whole surprise will be ruined, and it'll ruin y'all's day, because you're not going to then have the big surprise of when the baby's born. So that'll be ruined. Like, are you expecting what I'm serious here?
So you said it's going to ruin y'all's day. It's not going to ruin my day. It's going to ruin her day, which in turn will ruin my day, because she would be upset. Let's just clarify that. I won't be upset if and when we find out, and this is what I'm banking on: the fact that women can't stop talking. So she's going to tell somebody, odds are her husband, and I can easily bribe him with Braves tickets.
That's where we are. All right, 404-231-1680 if you want to jump aboard. The other thing I will mention is, I mean, I'm married to an OCD woman who had the baby's rooms decorated like the week after she was pregnant, and like baby furniture ordered and motifs and all this stuff. How would you go about planning? Because you're going to tell me you're doing gender neutral, but like, how are you planning to decorate these rooms when you bring little Joseph?
Black and white.
It's gray, because she's white, I'm black, and it's gray.
Which is true. Let me just tell you, just from childhood development information, that's tremendous for a child to grow up in a gray room. Works out terrifically for them. You're training the next Charlie Manson. That's awesome.
Wow. I did not see that term coming.
The child won't recognize color for at least 6 to 8 months, so we have some time on that.
No, you're not wrong, but I feel like, and again, it's your choice. I'm not going to talk you out of it. I'm going to tell
you. It's not my choice, Matt. That's the problem.
Well, no. BJ, her choice is your choice. Could you, in other words, if you were able to find out the gender of the baby, could you keep it quiet?
Oh, yeah.
I don't buy it. BJ, what I want you to do, I want you to go home. You tell that lovely bride of yours, Dennis Rader grew up in a gray room. And just start from there. Go from there and just see what happens.
John Wayne Gacy grew up in a gray room.
Go through a list of people who all went by three names and explain to
Eileen Wuornos, first few years in a gray room.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do what you're doing. I'm telling you the secret will never make it to the finish line. That's all. Here's David on the fan with Chuck and Chernoff. David, were you one of these people who did not want to find out the gender until the due date? You ever been pregnant?
Well, technically, same boat as BJ. So my wife didn't want to know, therefore I didn't want to know.
How did it work? Did you get to the finish line?
So I got to the finish line. My wife cannot keep a secret. Secrets are not possible, okay? Well, she got an ulcer scan. She was 2 weeks overdue, so she was ready to pop. And they did, you know, one more ultrasound. And unfortunately, the nurse didn't read the notes that said don't tell. So, of course,
story's too long. This is not story toppers. David, I'm sorry. Hoyt gets very anxious on the button, but that's once the secret.
I need to know that name of that nurse.
You know you can do one of these things without doing the gender reveal where you have a big party. Just go to one of these, we went to one of these real nice ultrasound places where they have the big screen TV and the nice couch and living room set up, and they have here's the, you know, sex of your baby. You have a great surprise that day, but you still have time to plan.
We had the ultrasound, and it's not fair because my wife is a doctor, an actual, medical professional,
and she can see like the subtleties of things. So we had face turn back to the monitor. It's not even a chance that I can even sneak a peek when we do these ultrasounds.
Chris is on the fan with Chuck and Chernoff. Chris, were you one of these folks who didn't find out the gender? You ever been pregnant?
Yeah, we had three. My wife did not want to have want to know any of the genders, and we made it through the finish. But one of the selling points to me to not find out was, you know, how great it was to go out there and announce to everybody and blah blah blah. And on the second one, right afterward, I could hear the nurse left the room, and I could hear everybody celebrate out in the waiting room, and she stole my thunder.
She ruined, Chris, thank you. She ruined your big announcement. But I feel like, and that is cool what Chris just said, it's the old, it's a girl, like in the 60s.
Yeah.
The difference is the dad would be in the waiting room or a bar.
Smoking.
Right.
Yes.
Waiting on, he's trying to find out too. He's getting a call. Oh, yeah, we just had the baby. I'll be at the hospital in 20 minutes.
Yeah, waiting to put them in the front seat of the station wagon, and your arm is the seatbelt. That's when that era was.
I meant to ask Chris about the planning of the room and all that, but let me see if Charlie can help us. Charlie's on the fan. Charlie, you went through this as well. You didn't find out the gender?
No way. We were told by all the yentas that she was going to have a boy. You're having a boy. You're having a boy. So we get into the procedure room. It's a C-section. I get in there. I'm sitting behind her, behind the sheet. They said, okay, Charlie, you need to stand up and tell us what the sex of the child is. I stand up. I was not prepared for that. There are all her organs all over the sheet.
Oh.
And either side is a doctor pulling out a purple-headed monster from my wife. And my wife is hitting me going, what's the sex of the child? And I'm going, I see intestines. I mean, whatever. All over the place. I'm a nanosecond away from saying, boy, they kept pulling. It was a girl.
You got this, Charlie. Thank you. You got the surprise.
See, that's not worth it to me. I never went south of the equator during the time process.
I was ice chips up top.
Oh, yeah. I was up top.
I had the doctor ask, do you want to come down here?
Like, uh-uh.
Do you want a mirror? Do you want a video? Do you want to, like, cut cords? I'm like, no, I'll be up here.
No, I'll be right up here. I'll be fine.
I was great up there. I did a great job of you, and I was coaching.
I'm supporting.
I was like, you're doing great. You're probably leaving a little too much room in the jump shot. You got to close out a little bit better. You got to box out. I was doing those things. Like, any good dad to be, you got to coach in those moments,
because then you end up where you can't
go back there,
play down there anymore after a while, because you messed up.
Kevin, or be our final word.
There's some things you can't unsee, Matthew.
Well, that's when the doctor, when I said I don't want to be back there, the doctor said, you want a mirror? I said, how does that accomplish what I just said?
Yeah, I just see backwards what's messed up.
Kevin is on the fan. Kevin, you didn't find out the gender?
Yeah, Brandon, all I gotta say is wait till the end. The anticipation is so great. You have the rest of the baby's life to buy it stuff and paint rooms and do whatever. I had three boys. I didn't know on any of them. And my son had a baby last year. They didn't know. And the anticipation that grew and grew and grew was so awesome. And this south of the equator business, you got to watch it once. It'll change your life.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
Charlie doesn't say it changes your life for the better, though.
Right. You know.
Listen, you can't grill for like 6 months.
There's
things.
Things you don't want to see, in my opinion.
You know, PTSD is real,
I imagine.
Ultimately, I don't think, for me, it doesn't matter. So I guess my wife's happy with this, you know, charade of keeping it secret. I guess I have to be okay with it.
Will
too.
You be down or up top during the
year? I'm going to be up top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a high post player.
Thank you, BJ. All right, coming up next, the Braves fix for their strikeout issue. They may have to turn to an unconventional solution.
He's looking to sacrifice a live chicken
to get it fixed. We'll talk about it next.
We can't have people puking in the locker room before the game.
Don't that feel real funky, y'all?
Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff your choice on a Tuesday afternoon. We're live at Fairway Social in Alpharetta. We're going to walk you right up to the Braves and the Brewers. All the action tonight from 680 Game Day. The Ford leadoff show and then first pitch with the Braves and Brewers at 740.
Go Brewers!
Awful. Just awful, Chuck. Tucker Davidson gets the ball for the Braves. Ronald Acuna is back. Top of the order. He's DHing, so we'll talk more about their situation coming up in a moment. Los is in for the King. As I remind you to stay connected, all your favorite news and favorite fan shows and baseball at night, on the Fan app, driven by Beaver Direct. The fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what
wow
really means. Download the Fan app now in the iTunes and Google Play store. So Lowe's thinks he might have a fix to the swing and a miss problem that the Braves are going through right now, which, as we stand here today, they are the leader by far in the National League in strikeouts after back-to-back 16K performances.
I wish I could give you certainty, but that is not the neighborhood we live in, because for the most part, it's very rare this time of year where a team will give away a player of consequence that can help you, because you got expanded playoffs. Nobody's out of it. Nobody wants to be the one signaling, we're done, things are a problem. Remember, we're still in school for the most part around the country. The real crowds, even though we have them at the Battery, are now going to start filtering into Major League Baseball stadiums all around the nation. Nobody wants to be the one to say, hey, we're giving up or we're moving
you
on.
You cannot white flag it by giving up a good piece in May. Even if you know, like the Pirates know they're not going to win a thing, or the Reds. It's embarrassing how bad they are, but if you start trading off players, you tell the fans, don't come.
Yeah, you can't tell the fans who planned all year about seeing Joey Votto, their favorite guy, hey, we're making him available. It's just not the way it works. So right now you have to do one of two things with the Atlanta Braves. First off, you either have to wait and be patient. That's the worst thing right now, because Adam Duvall, I ran some of the numbers this morning, and what I was trying to just do is give people an idea as to what his swing and miss rate is and what's going on with him. For instance, Marcelo Ozuna, in terms of his plate appearances, 20% of the time he's striking out. That's way too much, but 20% is kind of what some of these power hitters give you. Adam Duvall's at 33%. That's the crazy number he's at.
I bet Dansby is probably not far behind either,
because they've both been amongst the league leaders. I would imagine Dansby probably being at that 30% as well. But at least we've seen Dansby over about a two-week stretch now look like he's starting to come out of it.
Right.
Adam Duvall still batting under 198, okay? When with the two homers, that's the problem. So here are the two options that I say you have. The first one ends up being you wait for Adam to come out of it. The problem with that is that there's been occasions where you've sent him to AAA, he's figured it out and come back, and now he's good to go. You really don't have that luxury anymore, okay? That's not available to you anymore now. So what do you start thinking about? All right, what do I have within my minor league system that might be a Band-Aid? And I say this when you talk about a demerit. Demerit has been the perfect Band-Aid they needed. They weren't getting much of anything out of left and right field. Suddenly you're getting major league quality. And Travis has brought some juice.
No, Travis has been good. Like, if you would have said to me, I didn't even know if he was going to play every day because he had never done that. Not that Travis has been more than you could have expected.
You know what? Part of the game broadcast yesterday talked about the importance of Jace Peterson going to Baltimore and getting more regular at-bats, and now he's turned into a guy that's been not a regular, but a guy who helps teams, helps good teams.
Brewers like him. Padres liked him. I mean, he's done a good job bouncing around. Very versatile guy.
And so I started thinking about, okay, what's on the 45-man? And you always hear people bring up Drew Waters, and rightfully so. For a long time, Drew Waters has been one of the guys in the outfield. It was Pache, and Waters right behind him, and they're going to be the future of the outfield. So here's the good news. So far, Drew Waters is a 310 hitter in AAA. He's got three homers. He's got some RBIs. He's driving the ball. He's doing some stuff. Okay, here's the flip side of the pancake. He, too, is striking out 33% of his plate appearances. All right? He shows up. 33% of the time, he's striking out. That's a problem when you have a team that has a strikeout issue.
We've had Eric Cole on the show before, who's kind of our go-to guy, talking from Battery Power, talking about all the minor league stuff. The Drew Waters swing and miss is a part of his game. So he might come up here and give you some pop, but it also is going to come with what you're talking about. He would add to a team that already, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but it's not going to come off any other way, a team of a bunch of hackers.
Yeah.
Drew has that hacking sort of, you know, thing to his game, too.
So what's the other option? And one that we brought up, obviously, with Eric Cole as well. Michael Harris II just keeps hitting and keeps getting on base. Yep. And it's not just about the 289 and the four homers and the 22 RBIs. He's got 10 stolen bases so far. There's something a little bit different. And if you're talking about, can it be worse than 198 without being on base and not giving you this kind of threat? Listen, I'm not looking to replace a 33-year-old guy who just ended up leading the NL in RBIs with a 21-year-old. I'm looking to replace 198 and two homers, because that's what it is right now. And so if you're talking within the organization, because there's nothing, no help coming from without, outside the organization yet, you might have to be looking at this.
I think the more realistic option is hoping, and you always hear these dumb baseballisms that the back of the baseball card, and we know we have enough data on these players that at some point the worm turns. The Michael Harris thing is interesting because, A, you get that influx of energy, and maybe it works. But they also don't want to live in this world where they want him here yet if he's not ready. And you don't just, you know, punt on the, as you said, the 33-year-old who you know has done this before, who's a big part of what you're doing. This is the most boring answer I'm going to give you. This bunch that's here can't be this bad. I don't even have to say it has to be better. That's obvious. They can't be this bad. It can't be this bad on a nightly basis to watch Adam like this or to watch, you know, Marcel have such bad at-bats or Matt Olson go through times where he doesn't look like this gold glove first baseman or this guy who can lead Major League Baseball in extra base hits. They just can't be this bad cumulatively. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's going to turn at some point. Maybe that's tonight. Maybe that's next Tuesday. But that's where you are. That's your option.
I fear the regression end because Adam Duvall has basically been, and again, I use this number when I talk about batting average from a standpoint of putting the ball in play. The more times you put it in play, you get lucky. Bleeders happen. Things happen. Adam Duvall, for the better part of the last 4 or 5 years, even in his late 20s, which is normally your baseball prime, has been about a 225, 229 hitter. But
the strikeouts are always going to be there.
It's always going to be there. But what if the regressions hit at 33, where now it's now 20, another 20 number drop, and now he's a 200 hitter?
But you could also deal with Adam. In this day and age where batting average isn't as relevant, you could always deal with it because Adam was going to give you the home runs, and he was going to give you run production.
And that's what's not happening. No. And that batting average is the indication of, and you're not putting the ball in play.
Correct.
33% of the time, you're striking out in your plate appearances.
All right, coming up next, we will spin the wheel of headlines and clickbait. All I will tell you is when a dream comes true.
Those are some hot-looking women.
And when it collides with your worst nightmare.
Wait a minute. Two of those are guys.
We find out exactly why it gets you to click on that story next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.